This talk is from GreatCatholicHomilies.com. The homilist is Father Anthony Branken of the Archdiocese of Chicago. St. Francis de Sales' attention to the little virtues of gentleness, humility, kindness, and cheerful optimism shape monastic life in the Salesian tradition. Learn about the Visitation Sisters at GeorgetownVisitation.org.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. All right, let's go back to Adam and Eve. Now, not the Adam and Eve in the catechism books that look like the blonde movie stars, but let's not go with the caveman thing either, where everybody looks like they're half monkey and half man. Whatever Adam and Eve looked like, it was probably pretty much like us. No matter what the people who believe in evolution say, they have not yet found anything that is half one species and half another. They can talk about it all day long, they haven't found it. That's the missing link they're always talking about. And it's interesting that the more research they do, the more scientific investigation that takes place, the biblical belief, the Catholic belief, that we are all descended from one pair of human beings seems to be more and more vindicated. In fact, you might remember, and I say this all the time, I begin my adult sessions, but you might remember about 10 years ago, right around the time that the scientists figured out how to break the genetic code. And now the genetic code is how physically we become who we are. They discovered that every human being alive today, everyone, has the same genetic material, the DNA they call it, of a woman who lived in Africa about 1 million years ago. They were joking when they found that DNA and the mitochondrial DNA, and they joked and they said, well, that we'll call her Eve. Now, I don't know how they do it, but they can trace this little gene all the way back that all human beings have, and they can trace it back to one common ancestor. This means that when the Catholic Church says that we are all brothers and sisters, this is not poetry, this is not flights of spiritual fancy. It is physically and genetically and historically true. We all have the same mitochondrial DNA of this woman from 1 million years ago. So everyone sitting in this church today, whether your people come from Asia or Africa or Europe or Mexico or South America, every one of us is related. Really and truly, we are literally cousins. We are from the same family. We are all one. And the differences between the races and the nationalities are really superficial. They mostly consist of skin coloring and hair texture. That's superficial, and that's about it. So the Catholic Church was right all those years when she taught for the 2,000 years that the story of Adam and Eve is true. Yes, God created male and female, He created them, and we are their children. Now, one of the interesting things that link all people besides this mitochondrial DNA is that they all tell the same stories. Now, I'm exempting modern people from this because in our modernity, we've destroyed all our stories and traditions. We're the smart set. We don't have children, and we don't believe in God. And we don't have any stories either. But everybody else has had stories of how humans came about, and amazingly, all the early cultures, all the early tribes and nationalities, they all had stories that they told around the fire at night about how there was this one God who made us, and how we used to be close to that God, and how we were God friends, and they all tell the story of how one day our ancestors, 1 million years ago, did something terrible and broke the bond between God and these creatures. Now, you and I call the first two human beings Adam and Eve, but that's simply the Hebrew words for man and woman. But everyone had the same stories. I don't care if you were a tribe living on the inside of a volcano rim, you told these stories. Why not? After Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and they were sent into the wilds of the world, They had children, and their children had children, and their children's children had children, and pretty soon the population of the world is increasing, and they're all trying to remember what their parents from so long ago had told them about God and the garden, and about punishment and the devil, and about the promise of a Savior, about heaven and hell. And I don't care what group is telling those stories a million years later, the details change, the facts get a little jumbled, but everyone is talking about basically the same story, a supreme being who made humans and the humans broke that relationship, but we need to live our lives in accordance with his will so that when we die, we can go back to him. Think about it. There is no group anywhere. Like I said, you could be a tribe living on the inside of a volcano rim in the middle of a jungle. There's no group anywhere that does not believe that we humans have an immortal soul and that the soul lives on after death. Everybody knows this. Everybody assumes it. Every tribe, everybody. Only when you've allowed yourself to be pummeled by modernity do you ever doubt this. So basically, all of this is to say that everyone has believed in life after death. Now, when Jesus comes with his revelation and through the church, now we finally get the story straight. We get the story right about what happens after we die. Only when people become Christian, Catholic, do we learn the truth about heaven and in hell and, in fact, purgatory. Now let me come to the point. In case you thought that was the point. This church is named after Saint Odilo. And you know that this is the national shrine of the poor souls. We are the only church in the United States named after him. And if you were ever wondering about the connection of Saint Odilo to the poor souls, he is the one who established the feast of all the souls. He is the one who invented, shall we say, the Day of the Dead and proclaimed November 2nd as that day, the day par excellence of praying for the dead and getting them out of purgatory and into heaven. Saint Odilo did that. That's our saint, our patron. Now, who was Saint Odilo? Well, he lived about 1,000 years ago, and he was a priest. He was an abbot, in fact, in France. He was a good and he was a holy abbot, very well known and very well loved. Even the popes used to consult him. Well, at some point in his life, now this is a legend, but I love it. At some point in his life, Odilo made a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, and as he was returning home from France, his ship was wrecked off of one of the islands in the Mediterranean, and he was washed up on shore. Now, on that island lived a hermit. And the hermit took him to his cottage. He saved Odilo. And one day, the hermit took Odilo to a rocky fastness in the middle of the island and showed him these mountains. And in the mountain was a chasm, a huge opening, a gaping separation in the middle of the mountain that, according to the hermit, opened up into purgatory. Now, from this yawning chasm, coming out of it like wind and waves from a million miles away, Odilo said he could hear the groans of the dead moaning for prayers. Odilo said that you could also hear the shrieks of the demons complaining about the power of those prayers. Odilo was so stunned by what he experienced that when he was finally able to return home to France, he immediately established November 2nd as the Day of the Dead, All Souls Day, that we might have one day for sure to pray for all those in our lives and in our families who've died and get them released from purgatory. Beautiful story, and I like to believe it. Now, why November? What's all the connection with the ghoulies and the ghosties and the things that go bump in the night? Well, it seems that even though a good part of Europe was Catholic, not all of it was Catholic, near St. Odilo's Abbey lived a population called the Belgae. Now, these were Celts. Now, the Celts are like a tribe related to the Irish. And they, children as they were of Adam and Eve, now we're just going to start bringing Adam and Eve back in, they had heard always, even though they had never seen a missionary, they had never heard a Bible, They never talked about these things. They had always heard and believed that there was life after death, eternal life. And this is what I was going on so long about Adam and Eve for. Because just as there is commonality in all of our DNA, our humanity, so too is there a commonality in belief. So everyone, including all these tribes, including the Celts, believed in an afterlife. But until they were converted to Catholicism, it was a kind of an uncontrolled belief. A little under the influence of Satan, a little confused, no rhyme or reason. What they believed was just the souls of the dead were kind of roaming around scaring people. And especially around the end of October and into November. In fact, the Celts spent most of November celebrating the dead. This was kind of their way of making nice with the dead to make sure that the dead left them alone. And this is the origin of all of our Halloween silliness. If you're wondering where all this Halloween stuff came from, this is it. This is the point of trick-or-treat. And we have it in America because there were so many Celts that came here, Scotland, England, Ireland. But they were trying to placate the dead who would harm them if they didn't placate them. And so it was St. Odilo who determined that praying to the dead as if to placate them from evil deeds was wrong. It wasn't Christian. It wasn't Catholic. And praying to the dead needed to be replaced by praying for the dead as our good deed for them. That they're not these devils and monsters out there trying to hurt us. They're just souls in purgatory trying to get to heaven. And so we do that. We pray for the dead day after day, month after month. Every Mass that we have at St. Odilo, almost every Mass is for a dead person. And those dead persons, we assume they may be in purgatory, but we're praying that they get to heaven. The people whom we loved so dearly will be cleansed of all their sins by our prayers and be brought to heaven. That's a beautiful teaching. And how beautiful of our God and Jesus and the Church to explain about the next life and tell us that we are still able to do good things for them, even though they've died. It's a wholesome and holy thought to pray for the dead. St. Augustine said that in about the 5th century. Now, is this the season we really get into it? Now, the question we might ask, is it un-Catholic? Is it un-Christian? Is it against our faith to do spooky stuff on Halloween? Actually, probably not. Certainly not little boys and girls dressing up as ghosts and goblins looking for a little bit of candy. I kind of think that even though this is a hangover from our old pagan days, we are not worshiping Satan and all his minions, but we're kind of mocking him. As if our little 6- and 7-year-olds are saying, you don't scare me. And you know what? They aren't scared. Because we have Jesus. And they know that. If I have any problem, it's probably a little problem with Halloween becoming our second biggest holiday of the year. When some poor family spends thousands of dollars duplicating in blood and in gore on their front lawns some Hollywood horror fantasy, I have to ask myself, what is that all about? What is that supposed to mean? And truth to tell, I don't know what it means. I would imagine they do not think that they're placating the dead by all those evil, horrible figures in the front yards. And I wouldn't bet the bank that they ever think about the real afterlife either. So it's a cinch that they're not praying for the dead either. So if it's just harmless fun, maybe they can think about toning it down a little bit. And maybe even putting a point to all of it by praying the rosary at night for their dead grandmothers and their dead grandfathers. And maybe even having a Mass said for them. Yes, we are all children of Adam and Eve. And we believe in so many things that Adam and Eve passed on to our ancestors, including life after death. But those beliefs were corrupted by time and the devil. So we don't want to go back to the darkness and the errors and the fears of our ancestors. We don't want to lose the brightness and the hope and the beauty that Jesus brought to us in the faith that we now have. So next week, we will continue this discussion with some detail about heaven and hell and purgatory. And in case case you think we got rid of it in the last 40 years, we didn't. We're going to even talk about indulgences. But that'll be next week as we continue out through the end of October and the beginning of November. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Hear more talks like these at greatcatholichomilies.com.